this is our writer's mastermind, and we're talking all about writing. So, gosh, to start off with, let me just share my screen and get over to the Academy. And here is where we started. Let me see if I can get back to the beginning. So here's where we started is choosing a publishing route. So we talked all about choosing our different publishing routes. And Sandy, I don't know, you'll remember our conversation we had there all about, you know, you could, you know, self-publish, or you could actually, you know, go through a publishing company. There's, and then there's all those hybrids in between on how you can publish. And we've all met some of those. I know Ruth is published. Debbie's in the process of writing a book. I just was published last September for the first time. And so there's all kinds of ways to get published. And then we talked about editing our writing. And then we talked about last time getting feedback, not only from editors, but from critique circles and from beta readers. And so today we're talking about, I'm going to kind of include these two, titling your manuscript and formatting for publication, because this is going to be appropriate whether you self-publish or whether you go before a publisher or whether you submit. Sherry is not on the call with us today, but she has just submitted through the same publisher that I used, which is Patricia Wooster, Wooster Publishing. And Sherry has just submitted for her new book, Becoming You. And I'm going to meet up with Sherry this weekend here in Florida. I am, of course, in the Sarasota area over on the Gulf side. But we, Mark and I, we are driving across the state on Friday, this coming Friday, over to Miami. And Sherry is flying in. I'm going to meet Sherry. And a girlfriend's picking her up from the airport, but then she's going to be our roommate there. And we got a little condo on the beach. And so Sherry is going to be our roommate for me and Mark. And we're going to be there for Wendy's big event, where the authors of this new book, Becoming You, get to speak, along with the authors of the last book, which I was in, which is called To Speak, Lead, and Impact. We're all going to come together on this event on Saturday. So that's what's happening in our world, yeah, in the world of publishing and writing. And these are, and Patricia's going to be there. So I get to see her again, who is the publisher of Wooster Publishing. So I'm kind of excited about this weekend. It's kind of a fun weekend. And so we all get to meet up. But titling and formatting and all of that, we're going to talk about it for a couple of months here, because it's so important on how to title and format. And there's two topics under titling. The one topic under titling is, how do you choose a title for your manuscript? And so what I want to say there, before we get into the nitty gritty of the nuts and bolts of the writing process, what I want to say there about naming your, basically it's naming your book. And Debbie and I had this conversation the other day. Sometimes you need to actually let the book name itself, if you will. And I'm going to stop sharing my screen here before we go back to actually the nuts and bolts of writing. But sometimes you need to write your manuscript first and let it name itself. Because what happens, you think you've got this title all picked out, what you want your title of your book to be or of your manuscript to be. And then as you write, you put yourself in a box because you think, oh, I'm getting away from my title. Because oftentimes your writing will take on a life of its own. Your characters will take on a life of their own. And especially if you're writing fiction, or even if you're writing a memoir where you're writing about your own life, as you start to let those stories unfold, then you'll remember another story. You're like, oh, I need to put that in. And next thing you know, your writing might take a little bit of a different turn, to where at the other end, you're thinking, boy, now my title doesn't really fit. So I like to write first and title second, if that makes any sense to everybody. So Sandy, what are your thoughts on that? Have you run into that? Now, I know you wrote some actual nonfiction, and so you were kind of tied to your title,
sure,
your actual topic, maybe not your title, but your actual subject matter and your topic. How did you actually title the manuscript or the book once you were done?
You know, it's great advice. Don't get too married or connected to your title, because it depends on what's going to happen to your piece after you're done with it. There are some, like I know a lot of romance writers, they are, they have contracts with Harlequin and some other romance-based areas, and they have no control over their titles whatsoever. If you read some of them, Harlequin is very much about, you know, the girl who meets her, you know, secret lover. It's all about theme, and that'll probably come up later on. And so there are companies that do that. There are other ones in which if you are naming your own, it's still where, if you're self-publishing, it's all up to you. I was just listening to somebody who has quite a long list of sold books, and one book or two wasn't doing as well as the others, and said, they just mentioning this on at a Saturday meeting and said, you know, maybe my title wasn't good enough. So, you know, there's so much to consider on who's your audience, who's reading that book, who do you want to have buy or read that book? Then that determines it, I think.
So good conversation and good observation. Yes, I agree with you. Now, Debbie, you and I had a conversation the other day about your manuscript that you're writing, which is a memoir of her life, and it's part of her legacy. And we talked a little bit about your title, and you said that it was kind of an aha moment for you. What are your thoughts about kind of our suggestions on your title? I see her getting her notes. She says, hold on 1 minute.
It's better to speak from the notes than speak from your brain sometimes.
No, I get it. I get it.
Now, what was your question?
What was your original title of your book? And then after we had a conversation and made some recommendations, what were your thoughts about our recommendations for your title?
Well, originally I was thinking, it started with a daydream from childhood to entrepreneurship. And in you've read the initial introduction, and when you and I were talking, we came up with the fact that, because I always said, I was saying how you were talking about, do the story and it'll come. And now it started with a shattered daydream to entrepreneurship, which is what we were talking about.
You see, we're just adding the word shattered in there. Changes the whole dynamics. Yes. For the reader that is drawn to that title, because we all know that readers, the first thing that they see is the title.
And then they
flip the book over and say, well, what is it about? But the first thing they see is the title and the tagline, and that has to catch their attention or their interest. And so from a daydream to entrepreneurship, from a shattered daydream to an entrepreneurship, it has a whole different message. Yes,
it does. It really does when you let it kind of sit and inside. And I totally agree, because what we also talked about was that I was doing initially this lollipop and, you know, kind of scenario that everything was coming up roses. And in reality, that's not the story that I want to say. Mm-hmm. And by putting shattered into there, it does. It changes the whole dynamic. And because when you read my introduction, you think it's, you know, skipping through the tulips. But it's not. It's not really. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, we also said, you know, how we flip the book over to read the back cover. I mean, it's like a given. It's what we do spontaneously.
Yes.
Where I would put my introduction and put it on the back, and that will draw everybody into And I like the thing that you said this morning is my audience is already waiting for my book. And, you know, that says it all right there too. So I'm excited about getting back into not letting my brain have to, okay, I have to do this, this, and this first, because it's not really that way. It's just take the time. Mm-hmm. Just take the time, take the minute, and write it down, and then go back to it. I don't have to spend hours. You know, 30 minutes can you know, end up with quite a bit. And so, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
I love it. And we're not talking about book covers anywhere near yet, but I can visualize a book cover. Again, sometimes, and I'll have to preempt it with this, sometimes our first thought is our best thought, and then we try to water it down, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it really isn't.
And Debbie, but I remember back in the day when you and I were first talking about you creating some sort of a program, I remember that we played around with broken mirrors, a picture of a little girl looking through or looking into a shattered mirror where it was all fragmented. And I can see that as your book cover.
And you know, I totally agree with you. So the way I look at it is, okay, we came up with that, we finished that, and we didn't do anything with it, but here it is today, and then now it's going to come into play. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, everything is for a reason, and everything has a time. Yes, Ruth has her hand up. Yes, Ruth.
Got to get in here. Am I on mute or not?
Yes.
You're good. You're good.
Okay. Debbie, I have a word for you. And that is, when a story comes to mind that you want to put in that book, write it down. And if you don't have a place to write it down, speak it into your phone.
Yeah, you're right.
Because, you know, then later you can piece all those stories together and figure out where they fit.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Right now, just let your mind and your heart think about the stories you want to include.
And you're right. And I haven't done that. And there's been many times a memory, a time frame or something will come into my mind, but I don't do anything with it at the time. And the way my brain is, I can't expect to be able to remember it, you know, 6 months down the road.
And I think that'll take the pressure off. If you get these written down somewhere or spoken, mm-hmm. and then there's going to be a time where they'll just flow together.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes. Or
when you figure out, like, chapter four is going to be, I don't know, you know, X. And then your mind will think, oh, but that story, and it's just going to flow for you.
Good advice.
I want you to thrive from peaceful and productive rest. And your book will come out of that, and it's going to be so much better if it comes from that place.
From peaceful rest.
Peaceful and productive. You don't just get to sit on the couch and go to sleep. Peaceful and productive.
Good point.
Ruth, I love that. I'm gonna put that on a post-it note and stick it above my computer. Peaceful and productive. Yes. I love that. And now, and Debbie,
Don't even
get married to that final title. You might even change it from there by the time you're done with your manuscript. So let's go ahead, Ruth.
And my total thing that I do have on my deal is I co-labor with God from his peaceful and productive rest. But every one of you can change that. You know, if you like pieces of it, take that piece. Because And I don't have Thrive in the one I have on my wall, but that is my goal. I will thrive through co-laboring with God from his peaceful and productive rest.
Thanks, Kat. Ruth.
I like that. Now, Ruth, let me ask you, how did you come up with the title of your book when before you published? How much of a problem or struggle was it for you to finally settle on that as your title?
The actual title pretty much stayed the same. I don't know, that Time to Fly was just something that stayed pretty much consistent. The subtitle was hard and it kept changing.
Give us some variations on where you started and where you ended up with that subtitle.
I don't remember. I just remember it was hard.
How did it end up? What did it end up being?
Breaking free from stuck behaviors and soaring towards an all-around healthier you is where it ended up. And it had so many variations of that, probably 20, maybe 50.
Okay.
When you finally came to that end, if it was me, I probably pitched that piece of paper right out as fast as I could so I wouldn't change it again.
You're like, I'm done.
I don't even remember. They may be under my computer. I need to clean up my computer, but I don't remember. But yeah. And I pretty much stayed with the Time to Fly. I've done variations of that even in my business. But, you know, that's pretty much been there. Now I'm focusing on Time to Fly relationships. I've sort of added that in. So, you know, there's been variations that way, but otherwise, yeah.
Is that going to be book two?
What did you say, Debbie?
Is that going to be book two?
I've got all kinds of books in there. I hadn't really thought about that one, but I have thought about doing at least an ebook on the 5 principles of thriving relationships.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe doing variations on that as far as personal, and then one that just focuses on professional. There's another one. What's the other book? I haven't written down. You know how I talked about putting these in my voice memos?
Mm-hmm.
There's two possible books, but I have it in my voice memos. And right now I can't remember what the other one is. So I'll have to go listen to my voice memos.
So I like that. Now, where I'm headed and what I want to do is I'd like to move my office from my kitchen out to a space that I have in my garage, but it's going to require a little bit of work before I can move out there. And first of all, we have it filled up with a bunch of salon stuff from when I closed my salons, and all of that has to go before I can set up an office out there. But I want to have a big board on the wall. And as I format out my book, I want to be able to put these storylines, like Ruth was saying, on a post-it, and then put them in my chapters there on the board so that I can visualize the whole book on how it's going to unfold. And then that way I can move those stories around, like, oh, this story needs to come first, and then this story needs to go next. And I can kind of format. Now, I know you can do all of that online, but I'm very visual and I would like to actually see it on the wall. So I don't know if that's in the future for me, but I would like to have that. So Debbie, how are you formatting out your storyline so that it does have that beginning, that middle, and that end? How are you formatting that manually? Are you doing it on paper? Are you doing it in a computer program? Oh, I think she's going to show us. She's reaching for something. This is very helpful for newbies that have yet to start writing.
Well, I can't show you that part.
Okay.
But I actually, to give myself a door for my office, because it doesn't have doors, okay, I have this divided screen.
Okay.
So on the back of the divided screen, I took a piece of cardboard, and to make it festive, it's like poster board, I covered it in wrapping paper so that it's, you know, but then we learned this when we were doing day job to dream job.
Right.
This, I don't know. Can you see it?
Kinda. Yeah.
Well, there we go. I'll only do a little bit of it.
Okay.
But it's, I have, let's see. I have 7 sheets with post-its in columns as to how I want to. But when I take it from here onto my big board, that way I'm able to rearrange it and change the order that I want to do. So ever since we did that, it's really been a godsend. So, I mean, like I said, this is my folder that I put right next to it, and it has everything in it I need.
Okay.
And it's probably very simple or complex to some people, but when you and I did that, it was very revealing, but also enlightening to the point where, it's not stressful to write a book if I do it that way.
And it's almost a version of mind mapping where you're just putting all of your thoughts on these different post-its so that you can put them in the order that you need to include them in the book. So I love that. Sandy, how about you? When you were writing, how did you keep your story, you know, in the right order? And then did you have to go back and change your title or your subtitles? How hard was that for you to title your work once you...
It is kind of a challenge, and it's very important that your title advertises properly. I was just meeting with my writers group yesterday on Zoom, and there was a writer who had the title was something like Something New in Tea. It wasn't tea, but he hasn't published it yet. And he goes through the whole thing and it talks about different types of tea. And in a sense, in that process, it's an older man who is trying to get over the grief of the loss of his wife and his estranged daughter. And in the very end, it fits. It's a short story, but still it's like every chapter was a different type of tea and it fit what the chapter was. And then in the very end, his daughter comes back, the scene's over. It's like, wait a minute. You don't have any tea in this last scene. You don't talk about tea. And yet your whole story says something in the tea. So you need to make sure what he was going to do was add a little bit to that scene to bring, because these teas were all different brands that dealt with melancholy, because that's how it's kind of a fantasy, magical realism, kind of reflected his mood and there was a depressive type tea and all that. Well, here was his chance to have a happy tea in some sense, and it wasn't there. So it does need to happen. And you're right. There are things where I think it made me think when you two were talking, chapter titles could almost be that post-it note sort of thing. Because I have this one book, it's about, again, I'm a fantasy writer, a little different. She's a dragon rider. Oh, she wants to be. And they're only women can ride dragons. And these dragons are the size of tiny ponies or large goats or something like that. So the first original title was called A Size 4 Dragon Dream, because she wanted to fly on these dragons, but you can only be like a size 4 because the dragon just won't, blah, 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 all that stuff. But trying to deal with the idea of weight, and is that too much to talk about? Because the girl definitely was not a size 4. She was more like a size 10. And what did that, how badly did she want it? The issue is there, but I took out size 4. I thought something much like that dragon dream that she had, and does it come to fruition? But there are books out there. Everybody has a lot of how to write books. And I was looking for something that says, tell me how to chop up my book into doable sections. And sometimes I'll get overwhelmed by the enormity of, oh my gosh, how am I going to fill 300 pages? Well, now if they say your opening scene or your opening part of your story, because it depends on what genre you are in, is only going to be 10% or 5% of your book. I'm going, oh, okay. So if I have 300 pages, 5% of that is this. So it's like, well, I could write that. So I kind of tease myself tease myself into the trick. Like, oh, I could do that. And okay. And in this part, I have to have my inciting incident is what they call it, where you were talking exactly, Debbie, where it's like, wait a minute, I should start out here and draw, like you were saying, draw that reader in right off the bat. Don't make it, unfortunately, a bed of roses. I have another writer friend and she will not let her hero suffer. It's like, no, you have to. We want to see the hero become a hero by overcoming the suffering. So unfortunately, I don't know how you do it with memoir, because you've got to relive and tear up your heart and go through all that every single time. But that's why we watch true crime. And that's why we watch, even
virtual, any virtual TV. We want to see how the story ends.
Exactly. Even Jerry Springer. I mean, crazy, yes, but it's like, I want the good stuff. And even some of the other talk shows that would start with very dignified. I think Dr. Phil started off with very dignified. And in the end, we're trying to find whose baby is somebody, because that's what people want to hear. And I'm not reducing your story, Debbie, but that title does need to have some heartbreak in it. Because people identify with that, or at least know, well, if Superman can do this, even those Marvel heroes or DC comic heroes, if Superman can do it, I'm not Superman, but I just love the feeling that somebody showed that justice does prevail, however we do that. So the title, when you're doing George W. Bush's life, the title is going to be George W. Bush. They didn't let me title it anything else. Same with Francisco Pizarro.
What about your subtitles? Could you play with the subtitles or no?
Yeah, I would think so. I didn't have subtitles. I don't have in those. I didn't. And my short stories are like you were saying, that beginning, middle, and end is so critical. And I was playing with, let me try some short stories so I could practice doing that. And definitely your matter of fact, as people think of this, and I think this will work for any kind of a book, your title is really the first sentence of your book. It is the first thing that people read, and then they go from there. Mm-hmm. So it does need to be, oh my gosh, pretty, pretty critical. The book covers a whole other thing as right. well. Because unfortunately, they say never judge a book by its cover. We always do. And that's going to be important. But the title is extremely, because that, extremely tells a lot about the story.
Well, and I think when you're writing a memoir like Debbie is, I think folks want to feel that they can relate. I mean, if I'm going to read all about how this millionaire became a bigger millionaire, I'm probably going to bypass that one because I'm not a millionaire and I can't imagine relating, to mm-hmm. that level. It's the same in coaching programs when some guru is out there advertising, sign up for my program and you can, right. Have this super, you can make $30,000 next month. Well, I can't wrap my mind around making $30,000 in 1 month. So I don't feel that I can relate to them or can connect right. with them. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of times, if you're honest and you're authentic to your own story and to yourself, then that's where I say all the time that your yeah. tribe will find you, because yeah. the folks that relate to what you've been through will gravitate toward that book. They'll yeah. say, oh, let me see how she managed to do this. I want to do this. See, yeah. and you're going to be very relatable at that point.
Yeah.
So I'd like to make, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No,
Debbie, please. We're talking about just, you might as well talk to you about yourself.
Well, you know, Sandy, you were talking about, you know, you want to see the end, you want to see how it ends, right? Mm-hmm. And what I have been finding lately, or maybe even over the last 6 months, is how many series do you start watching on Amazon Prime, you know, any of those?
Hulu,
and you go through, like this one I watched, I got hooked on, 7 seasons, and it stopped. I mean, it the last episode was like, okay, I have to wait till the next season. Mm-hmm. And of course, you have no idea when they're going to come back to finish it.
Yeah.
And I am a Marvel's hero person. I love them. And I was trying to figure out how come this one particular series with Hawkeye from Marvel.
Sure.
Well, come to find out, in January, he suffered a life-threatening accident. And I didn't even know it until Diane Sawyer did the interview with him.
Wow.
And I got to tell you, that was, I don't like watching interviews because they're so one-sided or whatever, mm-hmm. but she did a great job with that. So my point is, I understand how you've got to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, because even in the sequel books, mm-hmm. at least they end the book mm-hmm. with an ending. And when it goes on to the next book, some of them take up where the first one let up, but yet the writer has a way of keeping you enthralled with the first book, wanting the second book. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Harry Potter fan too, so, you know.
Yeah, me too.
And they have another movie coming out sometime. Don't know when, but anyways, so I don't think I changed the subject too much, other than giving other examples of what I see, my view. And it's kind of exciting to see what's going to come next, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, you do have to put an end date to getting it written. Because like Kathy, she put an end date, no more nails after this date. And you'll find that it doesn't put pressure on you, but it gives you a point of looking at that, okay, I can do this, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I'm just kind of rambling on. See where Ruth left.
No, she had a phone call. She had to go grab a phone call real quick. So I appreciate all your comments, Debbie. I love that. And I remember when Sandy and I, we had an interview not too long ago, and Sandy said she likes to work under a deadline, you know? Yeah. For that reason. So I get that. And I do that as well. I do that pretty often in creating my courses and different things that I'm doing. I work under a deadline, which works for me as well. Now, sometimes you can put a little undue pressure on yourself, so you got to be careful of that. But I want to share my screen for just a moment, and I want to show you what I have here, and you'll be able to find this in the actual Academy. And this, and again, we're not talking about now how to come up with what the title is. We're talking about now your title page of your manuscript. And we're going to get into next month all about formatting. So we're not going to get into a lot of this on this one, but I do want to talk about, you know, what is your manuscript? And of course, you know, how you're going to format your manuscript. And this is whether you're going to self-publish or you're going to query to a publisher. But the basic method for formatting is to use 8.5 by 11 inch paper, regular paper, and then just use this share font between 10 and 12 with 1 inch margins on all sides. Now, is that what you found, Sandy, in your
travel? Yes, I would say when in doubt, go with Times New Roman as your font.
Definitely, and I've done that.
Yeah, definitely 12 point, no bigger, no smaller, the 1 inch margins.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yep. No. So anyway, so that's kind of the standard for the industry. Mm-hmm. And so the title page now, to step on the right foot by perfecting the first thing everyone sees of your final manuscript is the title page. So especially if you're going to submit. And so on your title page, you should let the reader know what they're reading, who wrote it, how to contact the author, and how long the piece is. Now, your contact information goes on the title page of your manuscript. It should include your legal name, your address, phone number, email. The contact information should be positioned in the upper left-hand corner of the title page, single-spaced, left justified alignment. And then the title of your manuscript should be in the center. So it's like when you're looking at a letter and you've got the return address up here in the upper left corner. That is where your contact information should go, in that upper left corner of that page. And it's going to be, it's almost going to look like a return address on, you know, if you're doing a letter, because it's going to be your name, your address, your phone number, your email, all that contact information, single space, left justified. Then you're going to come down to the middle of that first page, and that's going to be your title page. And you're going to center your title about one third to one half way down the page. And then if you have a subtitle, it would appear under that. And then your author name, this is the name you're publishing the work under. Some folks, you know, have their author's name or their, what do I want to say? What is it, Sandy? When you write under a different name, your pen name
or,
yeah. And so you would put your author, your name there or your pen name there, if you're going to use a pen name. Your subtitle and title, all that goes right there in the center. And so you're going to make that all center justified. You're not going to make it to the left. You're going to put it right in the center of the page, and a double space line below the title and subtitle is where you put your name or pen name. And then your word count rounded to the nearest thousand, and one double space line below the author's name is where your word count goes. And then if you have an agent already, you're going to put their contact information, and it goes in the upper left corner, and the writer's contact information moves to the lower right corner. You see that? So if you have an agent, then your agent's information goes into that upper left, and yours is actually going to go to the lower right. And does that make sense? Can everybody visualize that? I didn't get my example created. I wanted to create an example and actually put in here, and I didn't get that done yet. But this is part of the Academy, and this is going to be in the actual Academy page there under the Kathy Benner International Academy. So that's kind of what I wanted to cover today. And then after that, we get into actually formatting your manuscript, which we're going to get into more depth next month. So I wanted to talk about today just how we come up with our titles, and then how you create this title page. So you can go to the Kathy Benner International Academy and scroll down to this section. So that's what I wanted to talk about. And Sandy, now you actually had to submit your work once it was done. And did you do it in that formal setting with the title page and all of that?
I did. They take it from there, because of course, when your real book comes out, you don't want your personal address and phone number and all that stuff in there. And by all means, if you have an agent, that agent will probably have sent you what they call a style guide. And the style guide is very pertinent to either the editor, whoever editor you're working with or agent you're working with, that's very specific to their company. And you would think they would all do it the same, but not so. But yeah, if you have the information set up as Kathy has outlined it, you'll have whatever you need to adapt to anybody's preferences. And that's just all it is. Yeah.
When I actually wrote for Patricia Wooster with Wooster Publishing, she wanted everything on a Google Doc. And yes. So she wanted us to upload our piece of the manuscript onto a Google Doc. And then she wanted us to, because Google has this wonderful thing where you can actually share the document with other people. And she just wanted us to share the document with her instead of emailing it to her and her emailing it back. She just wanted us to put our document in Google Docs, share the Google Doc with her. Then she could go in and she could actually make notes, because in Google Docs, there's a way that you can make notes in the margin. And she could just make notes in the margins without actually changing our manuscript, because she wanted us to be the author of our manuscript. She didn't want to go in and grade it like, you know, the teacher with the red pen. So she made notes in the margin where she said, I think this paragraph would be better if you did this. And I would like to see, you know, this down here in this paragraph. And she could just make those notes in the margin. And then it was up to us as the writer if we wanted to include her observations and her recommendations into the writing, or give her a reason, you know, we could respond to her notes in the margin as to maybe why we didn't want to include that, or the purpose on why we did it the way we did it originally. Like, well, the reason I did this is because, so I want to keep it. And anyhow, we just went back and forth in the margin like that. I'm going to say probably 3 months. Probably a good 12 weeks back and forth. And then of course the deadline was coming for it to go to print, to get published. And so finally, then she says, you know, make your final corrections or whatever, write in. So we're just working with this same Google Doc. And she said, I want you to make all your final corrections, make your title change, make whatever changes, you know, according to our conversation and what you click over this final time, she said will be what goes to print, what gets published. And so that's kind of how she did it. So she also is an editor, so she was able to edit at all those different levels of editing, which we talked about a couple of months ago or a couple of meetups ago. We talked about all those different levels of editing where you can just edit for grammar, or you can edit for content, or you can, you know, edit for understanding, you know, where the storyline is going. And so she did all of that editing on her end. Her team did that. And again, they just made notes in the margin of our Google Doc that then we could incorporate or not, whatever those recommendations were. And so I did make a lot of changes, because again, she's the professional. And when I saw her version of a couple of my paragraphs, I was like, oh yeah, that does read much better. And so, you know, I always try to be coachable, and I always want to learn. And so her promise at the beginning, because it was a co-author project, her promise at the beginning is that she said, I can promise you that I can make all of you look good on paper. She said, you have to do your part. And you know, and our book was called To Speak, Lead, and Impact. And what she wanted basically, and again, those love those stories, that beginning, middle, and end, she wanted our rags to riches story, so to speak. She wanted to know, where were you? What made you decide to do what you're doing now? And why are you doing it? And who, you know, who are you trying to help? And so there were several of us that had to write our own story. So everybody's story was so different, but yet she was going to make it all cohesive into one book project. And it turned out beautifully. As a matter of fact, just the other day, I picked the book up again and I couldn't stop reading some of these stories that these folks wrote. That they're so good, because some of them really started with odds against them. And so I love the fact that, again, each chapter was written by a different author. And so each chapter had, a different title. And she had to make all those titles to all those chapters fit under that overarching title of called To Speak, Lead, and Impact. And so anyway, that was, I don't know if that was her first co-author project. That might've been her second or third co-author project, but now she is doing yet another co-author project that Sherry, who's in our mastermind with us. Sherry is actually in this project with her, and it is called Becoming You. Mm. And so this is, again, this it's going to be the stories of all of these co-authors in the project, but it's not about how they're speaking and leading and impacting. It's about how they became the person they are today. You know, what happened in their world? What aha moments did they have in their life that made them the person they are today? And then the title of this book is Becoming You. So now Patricia has the job of editing all of that. That's a lot of work to me when I think about that. And yeah. So now she's going to edit all of that. And she now has to make sure that all of those titles fit under that overarching title of Becoming You. But what a wonderful opportunity for those that want to get published, that publishing an entire book seems like such an overwhelming project that they can just write their piece of it. And someone like Patricia, and again, we talked about that back in the segment where we talked about all the different publishing options, where there are some of those vanity publishers, those hybrids in between, you know, that as long as you realize what they are, you know, because some of them, there's some scammers out there that try to present themselves as they're one of the big publishers and they're not. And so, and they want just some money out of you, and then you get, you know, a book that's subpar. And so you have to be careful, you know, because I'll tell you what, there's scammers in every facet of our society today. So you've got to be careful. But there's a place for some of those publishers, you know, that you get what they've promised, and they do fulfill their promise, and you do get the results of that. And so there's a place, I think, for those. You just have to do your due diligence before you sign on with anyone. But the beginning stages, of course, is just writing your manuscript and having your manuscript ready. So Debbie, kudos to you. Sandy, I appreciate you and all of your work.
You've helped me, both of you have helped me trumpet my message with my writer's workshop, and I appreciate that a lot.
Well, I can't wait for the workshop. I am so excited this year that I get to go. Last year we were actually, I think here, I think we were in Florida, and I didn't get to go because I had just, I scheduled our trip here before I knew that she was having the workshop. So this year I marked off those dates early so that I'll be there. So I love that. And I love that whole area anyway. It's just a fun place. Debbie, are you going to get to go to the workshop, you think?
I will make sure I get there.
Wow. Okay. Thanks. Yeah, this is going to be good because, again, I think surrounding yourselves with good writers and again, what is it, that old phrase? And I can't quote it exactly, but we are the sum of the five people that we hang out with.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I know that if you had asked the question, and I don't have it, of course, on top of my head, if you asked the questions at the workshop, well, how do I know if a publishing company is on the up and up? Somebody will say, write this down. It's this website. Go there, plug it in, and they will tell you if that company has had any problems. So it's like, why don't I know that right now? But somebody in a writing conference will, or workshop will. So yeah, for sure.
Good to know. Good to know. Yeah, because again, sometimes we get caught up in some of those promises and we get sucked in, and the scammers, of course, the reason that they are scammers is because they're so darn good at it. And yeah. So you've got it. You've just really got to be careful out there. So again, being in a group like this, you can kind of vet some of those options and make sure that you don't misstep and get to where you're trying to get to. So I appreciate all of you. So thank you so much for being on today. This has been a lot of fun. We talked about title today and how to title our manuscript. It's a very important part of the book that we're publishing. It's what attracts the readers to actually pull it off the shelf to begin with. That title is the first thing they see. Yep. So don't be married to it. Don't be married to that title just yet. Write your manuscript and see if your manuscript doesn't show you even a better title. And I've written stories before where the story has ended up totally different than where I thought the story was going to begin. or was going to end to begin with. Totally different ending. And so then I had to go back and change some of it at the beginning to make it fit. You know, your story, you want to have a little bit like bookends. You want to have the beginning and the end. Like Sandy was saying, the one she was talking about, there was no happy tea at the end where, you know, it's a perfect opportunity to put a nice little bookend on the end of that story. And so sometimes you have to have, you know, those bookends to make the story make sense on where it began and where it ended. I know my first speech that I did, and Debbie, I shared this with you. I talked about how I was envious of, you know, the girl on the bicycle in the middle of a work day. And here I was racing between jobs, and how in the world did that girl just get to go out and ride her bike during the day, you know, while I was racing between job one and job two, making minimum wage. And after I went through my series of my story at the very end, I ended it with the, now I'm the girl on the bike. And so what it did is it tied that story together as to why I started it that way.
Sure. And it depends on the genre. I was just thinking that. I mean, if you're a mystery writer, you don't want to say the basketball player did it. But
that. Right. So I am in the middle of writing a mystery novel. And so mine is all about a matching scarf that the roommates had when they were in college. And now fast forward 20 years later, the gal's in her 40s. She had lost her roommate. Her roommate had died. And so she's sitting at a coffee shop on a bright, sunshiny fall day, enjoying her coffee in her normal place where she always sits. And she's a regular there, and everybody's saying hi. And this very attractive young man, much younger than her, in his 20s, arrives, blue eyes, piercing blue eyes, and says, "Ma'am, I'm sorry you dropped your scarf." And oh, she was horrified, because that was the scarf that she and her roommate had purchased to match. And that was her memory of her roommate. She loved that scarf. And the young man then left. And then she realized that she still had her scarf. He handed her a second one.
Okay. So how'd you come up with this storyline?
I have no idea. I was sitting at a coffee shop. I was sitting at a coffee shop one morning, and I just started spinning this tale in my head. Mm-hmm. And so that's the beginning of my mystery novel. So I'll have to keep you posted on.
That's great.
That's terrible. Yeah, I have to keep you posted on who the young man was and how he got the scarf.
Wow. And what happens next? What does she do with that? What does it mean?
I know. And who was that guy?
Yeah, that's it.
Because by the time she realized that she still had her scarf, and that this was obviously a second scarf, knowing that only she and her roommate had these matching scarves, he was long gone. And of course, in a coffee shop, everybody's doing their own thing. And so nobody that she's asking all around, nobody even remembered seeing the young man. So
Good. Well, and you know, Debbie, again, I think it was Kathy, did you recommend adding Shattered to your title, Shattered Dream? You're talking rags to riches. People love rags to riches story. And in that sense, we can see there's the rag, you know, there's the shattered dream, and the riches, I'm sure, you may or may not be giving you the lap of luxury, but you know that journey, and we want that journey. Romance is the most popularly sold book in America. We all know how it's going to end, but we want to see that journey nevertheless. So same with
the bigger struggle that the couple had throughout the book, the better we like the story.
Exactly.
And the one thing I'll add to what you said, Sandy, is it's all in how you define luxury.
Yeah. Ooh, nice.
Because it can mean different things to different people.
Sure.
And, you know, I may not be rich in the sense of money or financial freedom.
Yeah.
But if I'm rich in something else, then that's important.
Sure. I agree.
And I believe too, and on a same note, but a different note, is that health is our new wealth these days.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you can be healthy and happy, you have arrived.
Yeah.
It doesn't it doesn't matter, you know, what size of a house you live in. If you're happy and healthy, that trumps, you know, the mansion on the hill. So anyway, ladies, thank you so much. Has been fun. I love getting together on these masterminds. I hope there's been some inspiration out there. My inspiration is to get back to, you know, doing the next section of my story, because I'm kind of excited to see, who the young man is too.
And you're down in Florida, the perfect place to find him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. The pantser versus the plotter. I talked to Beverly Jenkins, who is on her 50th some romance book, and she does not plot, because she goes, I want to experience what my characters are experiencing. So, you know, you are your sleuth. Okay. Go for it.
Yeah.
Like it.
So I'm trying to put myself in her position and say, what would I do next?
Yep.
I do next? Well, because I'm a regular at that coffee shop, if I put myself in her shoes, I would see if anyone else in that coffee shop had ever seen the young man before. Do they know who he is? And so that's where the story is right now, is that she's trying to like not look panicked or crazy. And she's trying to ask everyone in the coffee shop if they happen to know who this young man was. So that's where I am in the story. So I'll have to let you know who he is.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. Same with you, Debbie. You know, this gal, again, she started off, Beverly Jenkins started off as a librarian at the University of Michigan. And she just wrote a love story just for her own sake. She had a friend say, you know, you've got to publish that. Yeah. That friend bothered her about that until she said, all right, already, I'll get it out there. So same with you too.
And look at her now. Look where she is.
50 some books now, and she travels all over the place giving talks about romance writing.
And you know her?
Oh, she's
I know she was. I'm in part of the romance writers group, and our meeting was Saturday, and she was our guest via Zoom, because I have met her, but and she was like one of those like, ask me anything. And so we just spent the 45 minutes just asking her questions here and there. And just, I don't know if you want to put this on the recording, but somebody had asked at the very end, I'm a beginning writer. Do you have any kind of encouragement, advice? And she says, you know, stick with it. Don't give up. And if you happen to know Jane Friedman, you should follow her on. I'm going, what? And I, at the end of her endorsement, I says, well, I says, I'm a director and this is it. And Jane's going to be there for the whole weekend with another person. So what does Beverly say? She goes, all of you. Doesn't matter how much it costs, it's worth it. You all sign up. She is great. So like, woo!
Hey, what better endorsement is that?
Yeah, exactly.
So I used it on two Facebook posts already that Beverly Jenkins said.
There you go. I love it. I love it. Yeah,
follow your story though. You're right. Write your story. That's important.
Sandy, did you send me, you were going to, do the email?
I have not sent the second one. I'm going to do that in the next couple minutes.
Just make sure. Okay, great. Thank you.
Perfect.
Thanks, guys. It's been great. All right.
Thank you, ladies. We'll see you next time.
Yep. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.